I'm glad we can tell it to the Lord, and we can tell it to our friends, neighbors, loved ones, but we can tell it to the Lord, and He can do something about the areas of our life that we need to have dealt with, and we can tell it to Jesus. Tonight, if you would take your Bibles, turn to 2 Corinthians chapter number 4, the book of 2 Corinthians, and we'll begin reading in verse number 1 of chapter number 4. Paul uses the word therefore as he starts out verse number 1, and he says, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, and to go back and see what he's talking about in verses 6 on down through 18 in the preceding chapter, he deals with some things about the ministry, and he says, therefore, seeing we have this ministry as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commended the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessel, that the excellency and the power may be of God and not of us. Here we find that Paul is dealing with the ministry that we have, and he says, tells us that he has renounced the hidden things of dishonesty. That's the old walk of life. He says we do not walk in craftiness, nor do we handle the word of God deceitfully. And so there are areas here that Paul says, I'm not guilty of doing that in the ministry. He's talking about the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says in verse 3, if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. I want us to think tonight upon this God that is the God of this world. Now, we know He is not God, but He is the God of this world at this moment. We know the end result. We know the final chapter of the Word of God. We know His rule is coming to an end one day, but He does have a kingdom. He does have a rulership right now. And it's interesting that the Holy Spirit would call Satan the God of this world. He is called God with a little g. He is not a God by design, but He's a God by permission. He does what He does by the permission of the God of heaven. God tells and lets Him do and gives Him a long leash and gives Him a lot of things that are available to Him and He uses. But He was not created to be God. He was created as an angel. The Bible tells us in Ezekiel chapter 28 and verse number 50, Thou was perfect in Thy ways from the day that Thou was created till iniquity was found in Thee. Until iniquity was found, He was perfect, or He's what He should have been, but there was iniquity found in His heart, and therefore He became the fallen angel, Lucifer, who we know of as the devil or Satan, a lot of different names given to Him, but He's a God by permission. He only does what He can do by the permissiveness of our God, and He has control of a lot of things, but it's interesting when you read the Scripture, He maybe has control of a lot of things, but He's not in control of anything. He doesn't have really no in control of many, many things. He is powerful, but He's not all-powerful. He always falls short. He's always down the step. He couldn't even do battle with Michael, the archangel, contending. He's a very powerful being. And so we find that he's not omnipotent. He's not omnipresent. He's nothing that is as our God. He has allowed, he is allowed to have wealth, and yet he doesn't own anything. When the devil tempted the Lord, he offered him the kingdoms of this world. I've always said that that was a lie to begin with, because he owns no kingdoms. He doesn't own any kingdoms that was able to be given unto the Lord. And so he's allowed to have wealth, but he does not own anything, because the Bible says in Psalm number 24, the earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, the world, and they that dwell therein. That just simply tells me and tells you that our Lord owns it all. Everything that we see tonight is under the ownership and under the control of the Lord God of heaven. The devil just uses a few things. He just permitted to have a few things, and he uses them to his benefit. And the devil, Satan, has an agenda. He's not just here as an evil force. He has an agenda, and he has that agenda to keep the minds and the eyes of unregenerate people. He says, if our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, because if they were not blinded, the Bible says here that the light of the glorious gospel would shine upon them, and they would have understanding about the Lord. So he has an agenda to blind the minds of those that believe not. He cannot blind my mind or your mind, those of us that are saved, because we've already seen the glorious light of the gospel. We've already had the message of salvation to us, but he still is our arch enemy. He is still that one that comes and battles us daily, every day of our life. We fight the battle against the devil. He uses a lot of different things against us. He uses our own worldliness. He uses what we really have lack of. He uses it against us. He uses the wealth of this world. People sometimes had rather have the riches as to have the good things of the Lord. 1 Timothy chapter number 6 and verse 9 says, but they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. We call that, in our modern day terminology, we call it materialism. What we can own, what we have, how much we can get. And the Bible says here men fall into that snare and that temptation, that hurtful, harmful lust that brings about destruction and perdition to men. And this which we have is never enough. It's never enough to get. Someone said, how much land does so-and-so want to own? And they were talking about an individual who said they just want to own what's next to them. And whatever they buy, they want to own what's next to them. It's never a ending, never a stopping point. And that's the way it is with material goods and material life. Whatever we have, we never are satisfied. We always have more. And the devil uses that to keep the minds and to keep the hearts of individuals away from the things of the Lord. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 16 says, as also in his epistle, speaking in them of these things, in which some things hard to be understood, which they are unlearned and unstable rest, and they do also other scriptures to their own destruction. Sometimes he uses the wrestling of the Word of God and the problems that the Scripture has to a lot of people. And the Bible is of no private interpretation. It is a general message that we have from Genesis to Revelation. And the Word of God nowhere will ever contradict itself. What it says in one place, it will uphold that in another place. There's been a lot of folks that have tried to show contradictions, but when you take them in context, take them in what has been said, there is no contradiction in the Word of God. But the devil will use those things to keep natural man's mind blinded to the good things of the gospel. He'll use the wickedness of the flesh. He'll use all these things to keep the minds of people that do not believe, to keep them as unbelievers. You and I tonight, we are not in the majority. We are losing ground every year. We're losing ground every period of time. And more, wickedness of the flesh is prevalent and before us. Galatians 5 says, not of works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. And he goes and gives all these different works of the flesh. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions and heresies, envy, murder, drunkenness, reveling, and such like. And so these are all the works of the flesh. And Paul says, of which I tell you before, in time past, that they which do these things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. So a continual over and over action and doing these works of the flesh keep us and keep the world in darkness and keep the world's heart in the darkness against the Lord. The world is immoral, and the people are given over to the desires of wicked flesh continually over and over again. And so Satan is using all these devices. And Paul tells us that we ought not to be ignorant of his devices. We ought to be able to identify some of the things that he uses to keep us and to keep the world hidden and to keep the world's minds darkened by his wickedness, the god of this world. Why is he called a god? Why is he called the god of this world? It's simply because a god is worshipped and he is worshipped. We may not find many temples to the devil, but he is worshipped more ways than one. He is not only worshipped, but Corinthians says that he is marveled and he is adored. He says, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. He's transformed into something that looks right, looks good, looks desirable, and then will deceive us. And then he is emulated that we find that in times past we walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince and the power of the air, the spirit which now worketh in the children of disobedience. So there is a spirit, there is a wickedness in the people of disobedience, those that are blinded by the god of this world. He has a kingdom. He has those that follow him. He has those that adore him. He has those that worship him. And their minds are continually darkened by the things in the course of the world that is before them. He is a god that wants us to be conformed unto him and wants the world to follow his agenda. Jesus told those Jews there in John chapter number 8 and verse number 44, ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. That puts a liar in pretty bad company. He is a liar from the very beginning, and he's the father of lies. And when he speaks, he only lies. The devil never tells truth. He never offers truth and the light of truth. He's always deceptive and deceiving. He's always bringing down. And the Lord told those Jews of his day, he said, you are your father, the devil. They just told the Lord that they were their father, Abraham. He says, no, you're of your father, the devil. And we either are in the kingdom of the Lord or in the kingdom of the wicked. We're in the kingdom of God or the kingdom of Satan. And so he says, you are of your father, the devil. The lust of your father ye will do. He says, whatever he desires, whatever he wants, you will do that. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth. And we read that verse just a little while ago there in Ezekiel, when thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day which thou wast created. He fell from that position. And now Jesus talks about that falling and says from the very beginning he abode not in the truth because the truth was not in him. If truth's not in you, you cannot speak truth. If you don't have the understanding of what truth is and what righteousness is and holiness is, then we cannot and do not live in that. And so Satan's called to God because he's worshipped. Satan's called to God because he is adored. He's called to God because he has control. He controls people's ways. He controls their walks. He controls their speech. He controls everything that is before them. And Revelation chapter number 12, verse 9 says, "And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him." There is his end. And so he's that old serpent. He's called the devil. He's called Satan. And the Bible says here he deceives the whole world. So he's the god of this world, and his world is a world of deception. The world loves Satan and his ways because they are of him. He's very, very arrogant in his ways. The Lord says in Isaiah chapter 14, How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cast down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thy heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will set upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the cloud. I will be like the Most High. There's the problem with Satan. He says those four or five times, he says, I will. I'm going to do this. I will ascend. I will exalt. I will set. I will ascend into the heights. I will be like the Most High. That's arrogance toward the God that created him. And today people are very proud. They're very arrogant. Today the humanist and humanism has taken over in our public life, our public schools, and it's taken over in just about every portion and particle of everyday living. It's all about who we are. It's all about us, all about what we desire. And this world loves that attitude that Satan has promoted of himself, and they they desire desire that in their life. The world loves his arrogance. The world loves what he has for them, the beauty of it. The scripture says in Ezekiel 28, it says, "Thy heart was lifted up because of thy beauty." Probably, I believe, according to scripture, Lucifer may have been the most highly exalted of the angelic host. He probably was the most used. He probably was the most beautiful. And here Ezekiel says that your heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. He really thought he was something. He says, I'm going to be just like God. Really, he was going to try to overthrow the Lord. Thy heart lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before kings, and that they may behold thee. The things of the devil sometimes seem to be glamorous and good, but the end thereof will be destruction. And the people today desire. The attitude of the world is that they want everything they can have, and the beauty of it and the joy of it. And Satan has a domain, and it's this world. He is the god He is the god of this world. Matthew 4:8 says, "Again, the devil taking him up in an exceeding high mountain, shows him the kingdoms and the glory of them. And then he says, I'll give them to you if you bow to me." And he had nothing there to offer. Ephesians 2:2 tells us where we used to be. It says, "Wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince and the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience." Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2 describes the world in which we live. It describes the world of which we are saved out of. He says, in times past, we walked in the course of the world. As the world went, so we went. As the world did, so we did. That's all that our minds knew, because minds had been darkened by the wicked one. And we followed the prince and the power of the air, that is called there in Ephesians, and here in Corinthians, he's called the God of this world. A lot of people don't even want to believe that there is a devil. Well, he's alive and well, and he's active, and he's very successful in what he does, and we realize that, we know that, and he's called the God of this world because people are arrogant. They desire his way of life. They desire what he has to offer them, the glamour, the light, the beauty, all the things of the world. And then also they follow after his ways, his music, his worldliness, his rebellion against God. And the Bible says in Ezekiel 28 again, thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering. And they list all these different stones. The sardis, the topaz, the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, the carbuncle, and gold, and the workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes. And that has a direct reference to the music of heaven. And everything that Lucifer had, everything that he had in his creation, he used it against God and still uses it against mankind. And then also the world loves his rebellion. Of all the people, of all the times we've ever lived, this is probably as rebellious of age that you can imagine. Now, I know every age has its rebellion. Every age has its ungodliness. But I guess the reason we know and can see more about it today is because of our instant communication. It can happen in a moment later. We know what's happened. Somebody can say something off the cuff, and we know about it immediately. And people can rebel against God. We know about that immediately. And he tells them they are their father, the devil. The reason the world does what they do tonight is because their father is instructing them and showing them and giving them directions on how to live. I'm so glad tonight that we as believers, we are not under his influence. We're not under his control. He cannot overtake. He cannot overtake a child of God, because we have the Holy Spirit that lives within us. And so therefore, we are not a part of his family. He can influence us. He can bring great influence against us, but he can never overtake us. The rebellion, the Bible says, is a sin of witchcraft. And the stubbornness is iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king. That's Samuel's message to Saul. He said, you rebelled, you didn't do what God told you to do. World's people, worldliness, worldly individuals love rebellion to go against the good things of the Lord. Someone was saying just today that who they worked for, if they knew you were a Christian, they were harder on you than they were anybody else, because they wanted to see how much you could take. They wanted to see how much you could take in, how much before you would respond to them, because they know most of the time the right kind of Christianity will not respond wrong way. And so they push. That's the stubbornness. That's the rebellion of mankind. Just to see how far we will be pushed, how far we can go. And it's all because there is a God of this world. This world doesn't do the things it does just because it just happens that way. I believe there's a plan. I believe there's a charted course. The devil has his kingdom. The devil has his people. And he's working 24/7 every day of the year, every moment of every day, working continually to destroy the lives of mankind. He is the God of this world. And he said, Paul says, if our gospel be hid. Now the gospel is revealed. It is a revealing of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, but if the gospel be hid, it's because of him. It's because of the God of this world. And he hath blinded the minds. What a terrible, terrible state for an individual to be in. To be a mind, to be blinded to truth. But that's the activity of the devil. That's the activity of the God of this world. That's the activity of his workers, his cohorts. That's the desire that he has. And I'll tell you what, he's working his plan pretty good. And he's planned his work. He's working his plan. And multitudes and multitudes in the valley of decision. And they're dying without God every day. Without the Lord. Without ever without ever hearing truth. Because their minds have been blinded to the gospel. Thank God tonight, one day I heard. One day you heard. Your mind was opened. The light of the gospel shined into your heart. And it made you a new creature in Christ. And be thankful for that. It didn't have to happen. It wasn't that we were just lucky. Oh, but thank God he came to us one day and we believed and trusted him. And now we are to present that gospel that he has given to us around this world to every person. Because he's a God and he's blinded and he's working. But we know his end. There's a day coming when it'll all be over. And praise the Lord for that. So next time you have a struggle, just realize it's not just a happening. It's not just a chance. It's not luck or unlucky. A lot of things come to us because of the wickedness of the wicked one. It's the push of wickedness around us. And there's a lot of people that are blinded by that continually. And they will die without the Lord Jesus Christ. All right, let's stand together tonight.